talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was from the Big Chill soundtrack, Ain't Too Proud to Beg, by The Temptations. In addition to the great Chris Isaacs Talking About a Home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Ashley Rowell. In addition to our radio show, Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the Charleston Home and Design Show, which happens is going to be coming up January 24th through the 26th, 2025, in the ballrooms of the North Charleston Convention Center. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. It's a takeoff on this week's home theme song that we did. If you have picked up the fall issue, our brand new issue of Charleston Home and Design Magazine, you probably saw on the cover, we have the Big Chill House on the cover, and the story that goes with how the history of the house and how that particular house made it into the huge star-studded movie from 1983. And we've been pursuing getting the Big Chill House on our cover for several years now. We finally were able to land it, but along with the Big Chill movie, there was a groundbreaking soundtrack that went along with it. That sort of kicked off a lot of the soundtracks that were very popular with different movies and so forth. And Ain't Too Proud to Beg, I can recall seeing them. They were making the stars were making spaghetti in the kitchen of the Big Chill House, and there was a scene where they were dancing in the kitchen, and I'm sure it's quite memorable to those that have seen the movie. And if you haven't seen the movie, you really need to check it out. It's got so many stars in it: John Hurt, Kevin Klein, Glenn Close, just to name a few, Tom Berenger. But pick up the fall issue, our brand new issue of Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and learn all about the Big Chill House, which is in Beaufort, South Carolina. And it's also our fall issue is our huge remodeling renovation issue. So we've got over 70 different local projects that you can get some great inspiration from for your own projects. And the great thing is we always name the local companies that are involved. So if you want to call that general contractor or architect or the company that's responsible for some of the different remodel projects, all of the contact information is right there. So we try to make it as easy as possible. But we had the Charleston Home and Design Magazine fall issue launch party this past week. And it was a brand new Hunter Quinn Homes house that is just about to go on sale. And we were able to talk with Will Herring and Chris Counts with Hunter Quinn Homes about the home, and we're going to be listening to that interview shortly. Special thanks to Hunter Quinn Homes for hosting our fall launch party, which was a big success. And also at the launch party were the owners of the Big Chill House. There is actually a different name for the Big Chill House. It's called Title Home. Title as in title, and H-O-L-M. It's all one word, Title Home in Beaufort. And John and Katie Tashin, they are the current owners, and they bought the house in 2018, and we've got a great interview with the husband wife team that are responsible for rejuvenating the house. It was in terrible condition. It was owned by the bank in Beaufort, and they saved the house, and so we're going to be talking with John and Katie Tashin about the remodel project, how that all went down. We also have a great interview with Tim Nelson. He was the photographer. He's one of our photographers that we use. You see his work throughout in the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and so we were able to catch up with him and ask him about his experience with photographing the Big Chill House. And then finally, we will be talking with Cameron Larson with Advanced Window Fashions toward the end of the hour. But we're very excited about the Big Chill House on our cover. This is a little bit of a departure for us, because people have grown to wonder who's the next person that's going to be on our cover. We always have a person on our cover, and we show them we take them inside that person's home. But this time, the house itself is the celebrity, and so I hope you'll pick it up. It's all over town. You can pick it up for free in just about any home related showroom throughout Charleston. Have a great weekend. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine. We're here at the Fall 2024 launch party, and it is a Hunter Quinn home in Mount Pleasant. We're talking to two of the folks from Hunter Quinn, Will Herring and Chris Counts. How are you gentlemen doing?
Oh, we're doing great, Tim.
Absolutely.
Good deal. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you on behalf of Charleston Home and Design Magazine for hosting today's launch party. And I know a lot of work goes into this. You can tell with the tent outside and lots of great food. There's a DJ about to start. But let's just start by Will, if you don't mind, tell us a little bit more about Hunter Quinn Homes.
Sure. Hunter Quinn's a local home builder based here in Mount Pleasant. We've expanded over the years to Greater South Carolina. We've got offices in Greenville, Spartanburg, and then Myrtle Beach. Mm-hmm. And the house you're standing in here is part of our Home Sites program. And so our Home Sites program is a build on your lot program where we identified that people were coming to see us and wanting the products we built in our traditional neighborhoods on their own lots. And so Home Sites is a program that allows them to do that. Our home on your lot.
Nice, nice. And a lot of people go ahead and buy the property, and then they try to figure out, you know, who they're going to hire for an architect and a builder and so on. And so what are some good reasons why someone who has a piece of property ought to be talking to Hunter Quinn Homes about having you folks build a house on their property?
Sure, Tim. One thing that's great about our process is you don't need an architect. We're going to get you through the entirety of the process. We're going to do the land planning for you. We've got a catalog of great homes to pick from, a showroom with selections where you can pick out all your features and designs and really tailor the house to your family's need. And we can build the home with the efficiencies of our production home building operation, which means speed and price for the consumer.
Right, and that's a common question that people have is, what's my cost per square foot going to be? That's a very difficult question to answer. A lot of builders shy away from that. But Hunter Quinn Homes, you folks pride yourselves on your efficiencies in constructing a home.
That's right, Tim. We're going to have the pricing for those houses on our website available for the consumer the first day they walk into the model home. Now, of course, options and design can take it as far as they want to take it, but we can give them a starting point. We can help them with their lending, and we can set them up with a process that gets them to closing, gets them moved in with their family easily.
Gotcha. So a lot of folks are familiar with volume builders that build all the houses in one neighborhood, and you mentioned that this house is part of your home site program, and you have two homes here side by side that are being constructed in this neighborhood in Mount Pleasant.
We do, and I'll let Chris tell you a little bit about those houses.
Yeah, so the plan that we're building here that we're walking through that the event's at is called the Chadwick Plan. And this plan was really set up in our Greenville division. And we brought it down here to Charleston because it was very popular up there. It's a wonderful plan, and we wanted to bring it down here and showcase it here in Charleston.
Gotcha.
And the house next door is our Grant Plan, which we built here in Charleston. It's been a very efficient plan. It's 4 bedrooms, 3.5 baths, very family-friendly, and lots of room to grow into.
And is this a one-level home?
It's a one-level home. It does have a room over the garage. So that's an addition that gets with a full bathroom up there. So you got room to escape, so to speak, put family members that come to visit or kids or whatever. So most of the living space is downstairs. The primary bedroom's downstairs. And then the two bedrooms where kids would normally be are separated from the master bedroom.
Nobody likes climbing stairs, and so to have the primary bedroom at the very least on the the main living floor is a big plus. I'm sure a buyer is this house sold already?
It's not sold. We just currently don't have it listed. After this event today, we wanted to showcase it at this event, and then put it on the market after today. So. Starting Monday, I believe, is when it'll go on the market.
Gotcha. Well, can you just describe some of the features? We're in the backyard area, and there's some things that I can tell our listeners about. You've got a putting green here in the backyard. Boy, that's going to be popular. And the rest of the backyard is very, very spacious, and you've got there's a fire pit that we have perfect weather for tonight. That's running. Nice paved area for entertaining and so forth. We've got an outdoor kitchen island here that is just waiting for the owners to start grilling with an outside a beverage refrigerator as well. And tell us about some of the features inside the house.
Yeah, so we wanted to bring the outside in, so to speak. So we wanted to, that's the reason the items you just described to kind of open it up. But we have the big mega slider door that we call it, which is a 16-foot wide door that slides open to kind of tie the two spaces together. You know, we have 10-foot ceilings on the first floor. We also have 9-foot ceilings, upgraded kitchen with cafe, GE cafe appliances in there. It's a very, very open floor plan, and it's a wonderful one that you just really need to come out and see yourself and see what it's all about.
Yeah, and I, you know, I don't know if everybody else is like me, but I happen to notice things like the windows that choice that you have here. These are I think what they call 3-over-1s, where and that's a very traditional look for windows. Houses that were built in the 30s, 40s, 50s have those that look of windows on the house. And I like the fact that this is a modern, it's a newly built home, but it has a lot of the older touches that go into some of the homes that maybe people have grown up with themselves.
Absolutely, yeah. We try to do some neat features that you wouldn't normally see in our houses that we build in our neighborhoods. One of them is our mantle that we put over the fireplace. It's actually Sinker Cypress that Encore Mantles built for us, and it's they're telling us it's almost a 2,000-year-old piece of lumber that they milled and put there. So you know, using quartzite and quartz countertops, also around the fireplace, hearth, and surround. Built-in cabinets and shelving. Just tried to bring in some efficiencies and modernizations from our production line that we do to kind of give it a personality of its own to really offset it. So I think when people walk through the house, they'll notice that, and it's definitely not something that you would normally see from you know, the national builders that you'd see.
Well, if I didn't know it, I would say that this was a custom-built home. There's so many custom features in this house, and so that's fantastic. You're obviously listening very closely to what the public wants, and not giving them like a cookie cutter type home that maybe they thought a volume builder might only be building.
Absolutely. Yeah, Tim, we wanted to really, you know, upgrade the trim package, and we did some things that we wouldn't normally do in this house. We want to be able to make sure that buyers, when they come see us, that they have that opportunity to kind of customize and change it so they're thinking outside the box. And we don't want to just put them inside a square and say you can't get out of it. So we're willing to listen to them and do different customized things for them to really make it a personalized house that they choose.
Tim, one thing that's important is all these plans, while they are in our catalog, they have a tremendous amount of flex options. So when Chris mentioned the bonus room over the garage, you know, that's something that somebody can have or not have. They can build these plans in a 3 or 4 bedroom configuration. Large structural options that can change. So it gives the buyer those efficiencies while the experience of building a custom home.
Some more features I'm just noticing. Got architectural shingles, smooth hardy plank siding here. Is it wired for audio video?
We do structure wiring throughout the house. It's a standard feature that we offer on all our houses. It comes with a smart panel box where everything home runs into it, and we generally give standard as 5 locations for the coax and data to run to, and it all runs back to that smart panel that we usually put in the laundry room or another area that would be convenient as well.
Well, that's great. And how difficult is it for a homeowner when they're working with Hunter Quinn in terms of making the selections? Because that can be a very stressful part of the process, especially when they're running all over to showrooms around town. How do they go about making those selections?
Tim, we've got a showroom that they come to. We have inside design. Madison, who was designed most of this house here, meets with every single customer and goes through their wants and needs in a home. And almost all those selections are available in our showroom for them to pick. We don't send them all over town. We can get them through that process in a day's time.
Well, very good. Well, and one thing I noticed in our summer issue was there was an interior designer that was showcasing some beautiful green subway tile, but it was installed vertically instead of horizontally. And I said, hey, I kind of recognize that green tile. And I turned to page 2 of our magazine where Melser Tile, one of the go-to places that if people are building custom homes, they were showcasing that same exact green tile that people are shopping for when they're building a custom home. And Hunter Quinn had that green tile in one of your houses. That's impressive.
Yeah, Tim, we like we said, we allow people to customize their house to what they want to, and like you said, it's become popular, and we've done it in several houses, to be honest with you, but yeah, we'll allow people to choose what they want to do, and your magazine allows customers to see different options and choices, and they've come to us and said, hey, I'd love to do this, and we'll see if we can do it for them.
Interestingly enough, that picture you're referring to, I believe, is Christina Sanchez's house, who after was a realtor in town working for one of the big general brokerage shops. And after she built that house, she actually came to work with us and is now part of the HomeSites team that sells these houses around town. So
interesting.
Real proud of that. And she's here.
Interesting.
Tonight.
Well, that's great.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I don't think so, Tim. I appreciate you, you know, interviewing us and letting us tell our side of the story. Appreciate you guys setting us up and allowing us to host it for you.
Yeah.
And look forward to explaining our story to other people.
Excellent, excellent. Well, how can folks get more information about Hunter Quinn Homes?
So, and Tim, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate the partnership that we've had this year with Charleston Home and Design, and I look forward to what's to come in the future. To answer your question, the easiest way to get information from us is www.hunterquinnhomes.com. Or hqhome.com goes directly to our home site's website. And Ella is our online sales coordinator. Here at the event tonight, there's QR codes, and people can pick that up. On the top right corner of every one of those websites, there's a contact us now. And it is a real person. It is Ella. She's here tonight as well, too. And she can speak to anybody, figure out what it is that they're looking for, get their information together, and then she will connect them with the right sales agent to help them build the house of their dreams.
Fantastic. Everyone likes that personal human touch versus the press one or two.
It's not a bot.
Right, right. Well, we have been talking with Will Herring and Chris Counts with Hunter Quinn Homes. Thanks so much, folks, for taking the time and also for hosting the 2024 Fall Charleston Home and Design Launch Party.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
We appreciate you.
And now we're talking with the owners of Title Home, also known as the Big Chill House in Beaufort, South Carolina, Katie and John Tashin. How are you folks doing?
We're doing excellent. We're happy to be here.
Yeah, thrilled to be here. Thrilled to be on the cover.
Well, thank you both so much for agreeing to be part of our fall issue, being on the cover, and also coming to our fall launch party here in Mount Pleasant. And I wanted to ask you some questions about the renovation of Title Home, and that's spelled TIDALHOLM, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. How did it get that name, Title Home?
I think it happened somewhere around the turn of the beginning of the 1900s, and it's, you know, my understanding is it's German, probably, and it means home on the water, essentially. And the home is surrounded on three sides by water, so hence the name. Probably right around the time that it became a guest house is my expectation.
That's one of my favorite things about living in the South, because I think it's specific to the South, is people give their homes, not every home, but a lot of the homes, they give them names themselves. And I think that's such a lovely characteristic, one of hundreds about living in the South. But how did it ever come about that you decided to purchase Title Home? And it wasn't like, I'm sure it, the curb appeal wasn't fantastic when you looked at it originally.
No, we were walking through, you know, the curb appeal is not there, but we were walking through the Point neighborhood on my first visit down to meet Katie's family and to see her hometown. And it was Saturday morning. We were walking through town, and we came up upon another house that was for sale. And I looked up, because I'm a real estate guy, kind of was just curious, and I looked up that house. And on that listing, below that listing, there was a picture of Title Home. And I said, well, what's that house? And she said, it's the Big Chill House, and it's just kind of right around the corner. And so we went over there, and there was a for sale sign on that. And I said, well, wouldn't that be cool? What a neat project for someone. And it just kind of snowballed from there. I think a day later, Katie's brother got the agent to show it to us just kind of for laughs. And I just kept thinking, what an interesting project. What a great way to kind of use some of my skills as a real estate developer to try to save something of importance. And it just stuck with me over time. I think from that first visit, which was in April of 16, mm-hmm. No, August of 16, mm-hmm. I just kept in touch with the broker, asked what was happening from time to time. I think later that year, I got in touch with the bank that owned the house. It had gone into foreclosure, gone into real disrepair, and negotiated a deal to buy it from the bank, and then started on a journey of trying to restore a house that really needed to be saved. I don't think the house would have stood another 2 years because Hurricane Irma came through and really kind of trashed the area, and Matthew had done taken its toll on it. When we first time we saw it, the dock was sitting in the middle of the yard, and it needed a lot of love. You know, banks don't take care of homes. And it takes someone to look at a home like they're a steward, and that was our approach to saving the house. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did from the time you saw it for sale and walked through to the time that you actually purchased, did you get that feeling that people get sometimes when they feel like somebody else is going to beat you to the punch?
Yeah, I'm sure I kept in touch just because I wanted to see what was going on from time to time. And the guy who sold it, who is probably the premier broker in town, did tell me from time to time, oh, this person's looking at it, this person's looking at it. I don't know, for whatever reason, it stuck more with me than with other people. Maybe because I thought I knew what I was doing, which I definitely didn't. But I think it was just kind of meant to be. You know, it was a big project. And I think a lot of people walked in and walked out because they didn't want to deal with a project of that enormity. The enormity didn't scare me. It should have, but it didn't scare me at the time.
Yeah, and speaking of the enormity of the project, I contacted you in 2021 when I had heard through the grapevine that it had been purchased and it was starting to get fixed up. And at some point, I remember you saying to me something about, this project drained my bank account or something like that.
Well, it definitely drained our spirits and our willingness to want to do it as for a living. But you know, I think it was a great collaboration. I mean, I knew maybe too much about construction, and Katie kept the process sane. So together, we've made a pretty good team. I don't think it would have gotten done if Katie hadn't constantly reassured me that it was going to be okay. It's tough to restore any old home, and a lot of what you expect doesn't end up coming to be, I guess. And then there was a lot of thankless parts of a home restoration where you don't see any value, like lifting the house and putting a new foundation in. No one comes to the house and says, wow, what a great foundation. They just, think it's there. And there were a lot of those unforeseen challenges. And then, how do you properly air condition a house that's, of that size? I think some of the bids we initially came up with were astronomically high. You have to pivot and move and make compromises along the way. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and older homes they don't necessarily adapt to newer materials and things like that, right?
Well, in a lot of instances, you have to go all the way back down, and that's what we did. We took it all the way down to the heart pine studs, really. And the interesting thing about the house is the part that was built in 1853, the original Italianate structure, was in pretty good shape once we put a new foundation on. But anything that was built in the 1950s and 1960s as additions had to be demolished because they were just beyond repair. And then trying to figure out how to cohesively marry a new part of the house to the old part of the house was a challenge. But we had, you know, tremendous advice on the architecture and design side, both by Rob Montgomery, who's local to Beaufort, and then Stephen Gambrell, who, you know, really bridged the gap in terms of architecture to design in a vision that was kind of consistent to ours.
Steve Gambrell, he is the interior designer?
But he grew up in Virginia, went to UVA School of Architecture. He does a lot of work in the Northeast and really around the world right now. But he spoke a Southern vernacular that resonated with me maybe as a Northerner. So, but he, I think he really was able, like I said, to bridge the two effortlessly. And between Rob's design and then Stephen's little tweaks on the outside, but then real influence on the interiors, I think made for a happy marriage.
I hadn't heard of Stephen Gambrell, but as soon as I mentioned his name to our managing editor, Michaela Arnett, her eyes lit up and she knew exactly who that was. He's world famous.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's brilliant. When I called him, I think I called him and said jokingly, because I know a lot of his clients, and I said, I've saved all my money to do one project with you. And I think I found one. And I said, but I want you to know I'm not like some of your other clients. You know, we don't have an unlimited budget. And he said, look, this is a passion project for you. It'll be a passion project for me. And let me know what where the boundaries are. And he did a tremendous job for us. The skill that he has is not always adding things to a room, but maybe taking things away. And so, like, he, I think, kept a lot of the things I wanted to do in check, because he would say, you know, the house doesn't want to be a New York house or a Hamptons house, or maybe some of the design characteristics that you are familiar with or resonate with you aren't going to work here. And so taking away some of those design elements, or in my head, I think just made it more authentic.
Sometimes it's hard to trust some of those suggestions that those interior designers are making, because it gets you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, I think that I knew just enough to be dangerous. And I remember one time we were sketching. I had spent the weekend kind of sketching a floor plan for the first floor. And I think I probably spent 5 or 6 hours on it. And then we went into Stephen's office on Monday, and I was kind of excited to kind of show him that I know what I'm doing too. And he kind of laid it out, and he kind of looked at it and cocked his head. He was like, well, what if we just did this? And in 4 seconds, like, drew a floor plan that was infinitely better than mine. And I just kind of looked at him and I was like, you know, I just hate you. I mean, that's right. I know what you just did is right, but I spent 5 hours on this. And we had another instance where he said, I said, I want the foundation to be white like the rest of the house. And he's like, well, I think it should be kind of a soft gray foundation with the white house. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense to me. And he just looked at me. He's like, confused. And he's like, I know I'm right, but okay, how do you want to? and he was, because when he explained it after his joke, you know, he's like, it needs to be a home that sits on a plinth, and the plinth needs to be different than the house. And it worked effortlessly. I think if it all looked white, it would look wrong. And so, you know, we have a lot of respect for him, and so does the rest of the world. I mean, that's why he's an AD top 100 designer.
Well, how did you both meet?
We met years ago, through our years in New York City, but we actually started dating when I lived in Nashville. So we were long distance, and the rest is history.
Gotcha. And how long have you been married?
6 years.
Yeah, in November. Six years.
We got married at the property in 2018. We bought it in 2017. It was supposed to be done by November of 2018. And they definitely did not get it done. Mm-hmm. I mean, the exterior was finished, and it was so close that the half an hour before the wedding, I went to go into the front door, and it was just sheetrock. It wasn't even sheetrock. It was just studs inside. And I had green paint on my hand from the the door was still wet. I mean, half an hour before the wedding. So,
do you have any regrets about the renovation, or is there anything that you wish was different?
It's a loaded question. I mean, I'd make the joke that, you know, I probably wouldn't have done it if I had a crystal ball. But I mean, we're really proud of it, and I think that we love seeing it through other people's eyes, which is one of the reasons why we're thrilled to share it in your magazine. You know.
Well, a similar era house in downtown Charleston, Lowndes Grove Plantation on the Ashley River. It's people get married there. It's used for mostly as a wedding venue now, but it's also the house that is part of the Outer Banks series on Netflix. And occasionally I see, usually they're young teenage girls kind of running with their phones, videotaping different, you know, the back and the front of the house, and it's walled off so you can't get in. But I think that's interesting that the structure of the house attracts so many people. Does that happen with the Big Chill House?
It happens all the time, and I think we finally. I think we believe there's probably at least 50 people per day, at least.
Yeah, we don't get teenage girls. We get baby boomers.
But you know, everyone is very excited, and we did buy this home, so we welcome it, and we're happy that they want to come down. But there is a fine line in terms of privacy, and I think we've done a good job with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happens when you have an iconic property like that. It attracts people, and you mentioned baby boomers. The Big Chill movie came out in I think 1983, and you know, if anybody, I was surprised how many people had not seen it. I have a young staff, and I would tell them about how I've been pursuing you, John, about putting the Big Chill House on the cover, and my staff had never heard of the Big Chill movie, and I'm like, Kevin Kline, Glenn Close. I started ticking off all of the actors, famous actors, and a few of them have watched it. But I think that is an iconic movie for baby boomers. The it's based on a cast of college buddies that went to school in the 70s or early 70s, late 60s, and then they come back 15 years later because of one of their group has died. And I remember watching that as a graduate in 1985, and just thinking, number one, I'll never have a house like that. Number two, I'll never have a house on the water like that. And for some reason it just stuck in my mind. And I remember it was the first time I saw a Sub-Zero refrigerator.
Right.
Was in that movie.
Right. I remember that refrigerator. I remember seeing it in college, and I think it resonates with people because it is a period piece. I'm not sure if it completely holds up today, but at the time it's a story about, you know, idealism turned into disillusionment, turned into, you know, compromise in some ways. And I think it resonated with people of that generation. And it's backed up by a powerful soundtrack, which kind of captures, you know, a moment as well. You know, we're pleased to kind of bring that house back and that maybe a little bit of that spirit back.
Well,
and I will say that the house, I mean, some of them were faux painted from the movie when we bought the house. And just an interesting fact, I mean, they really did use every room in the entire house. And I was told by someone working on the movie that they really just hung out in the house to get to know each other, because there isn't a strong plot in that movie. It's just friends getting together and talking about their experiences. So,
interesting. Well, how does it feel to own such an iconic home and one that has influenced so many people in their lives?
it comes with a different level of responsibility. I don't think we would have pursued it if it wasn't in Katie's hometown. I think the idea was, here's an opportunity to take something that is really the crown jewel of this community and restore it and share it with people. So part of the basic thesis of it was, it wasn't just a home restoration. It was like a community revitalization, if you were. And so we try to do, we don't do commercial events there, but we do a lot of charitable events or events that help raise awareness, because, you know, the house is somewhat of a celebrity. And if we can bring people, if we can use its celebrity to bring people together for a cause that's helpful to the community, that's what we'd like to do.
Well, very good. Anything you'd like to add about Title Home, the Big Chill House in Beaufort, South Carolina?
No, we're thrilled to be here and thrilled that you've honored us, you know, in your magazine. So,
well, we're very, very appreciative of you folks opening up your house to us and agreeing to be to share it with our readers. And so, thank you, Katie, and thank you, John, so much for being part of our magazine, and we'll be forever grateful.
Oh, you're very kind.
Down anytime.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
And now we're talking with photographer Tim Nelson. You've seen his work within the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine, and we're very, very lucky that Tim was the lead photographer for the cover story, The Big Chill House, that we have in the fall 2024 issue. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing great, Tim. I love the get together here. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Well, Tim, you live in Beaufort, right? Or Bluffton?
I live in Beaufort. I was born and raised in Beaufort, actually. So, okay. Been there my whole life.
So you knew of Title Home, also known as the Big Chill House. You knew it existed. It was in pretty bad shape through the years. Were you aware when the film was, when it was being filmed in Beaufort?
No, that was a little bit before my time. I was aware of the house as far as being part of the Big Chill movie, and maybe The Great Santini. There was another movie, I think, too. I had never been inside the house. They kind of kept it off for a long time, but my dad and uncle both worked on the house as painters, and they said that, you know, the house wasn't in the best of shape when they did that. Mm-hmm. And man, it's so beautiful now. Mm-hmm. So beautiful.
Well, have you watched The Big Chill?
I've actually never seen it. When I was a kid, like I said, I was a couple years older than I was, so my interest didn't lie in that topics at that time. And I thought about rewatching it recently through all this, but I just haven't had the chance.
Gotcha. So you knew of The Big Chill House, and then we asked you if you would agree to shoot the house and John and Katie Tashin, the owners of Big Chill. And tell me about your experience shooting the house.
Well, I was really excited to shoot it because I had known about it, and it was kind of like you can't just get into that area. So I was excited just to see what it was all about, not seeing the movie and being able to see. And I knew that y'all had me going out there, that it was going to be a nice house, design-wise. And, you know, when I went in there, Katie and John were excellent. The house, first off, when I went in there, I was really jaw-dropping at what they've done with it. It's so nice, so nicely designed, and taking those photos. It was one of my favorite houses to shoot this year for y'all.
Well, that's great. What stands out in your memory?
The one room that stands out to me, I saw this blue room in there. I really love that blue room. And I loved what they had done with the like the dining room area and how it was all opened up to the water. And I got a unique, my aunt and uncle own a shrimp boat. So this summer we come over for the Blessing of the Fleet at the Water Festival, and I got to see the house from the water side. And I hadn't seen it like that in a long time. And it was just cool, and I sent some of the pictures to Katie. House, you know, here's it is from the other perspective.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Was it very challenging to shoot that house?
You know, there were some challenging areas because there's some rooms in there with no light. some of the bathrooms, and they had a cellar area and a different kitchen, and the blue room was very dark. So those challenges did arise, but ultimately through different photography techniques, we pulled it all together.
In that blue room you're talking about, I believe, and I learned about this through the article in our latest issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine, I think they said they painted the walls a high gloss blue, which I would have never thought about doing that for walls.
It was the first time I saw the high gloss wall, and I think Katie said that they had the people, they had to come out several times to get it right. It was a difficult job to do, and it looks like it because it's beautiful. It's like a car almost.
Yeah.
High gloss, right. Deep cobalt kind of blue. It's beautiful. I think it's his study. I think that's what it is, John's study.
Well, good. Well, hopefully the shooting the Big Chill House will be a nice feather in your cap for your resume going forward. And once again, Tim, we're very grateful that you're part of the Charleston Home and Design Magazine team. And besides shooting for us, take a minute and talk about your photography practice.
I do a lot of stuff with different designers, kitchen designers, home designers, architects. And then I do a lot of actually family portraiture. So during the summertime, we do a lot of families that come out to different beaches and get them together, which is always fun to, you know, lock in memories of people. And it's going to be something special for them always. And doing the houses is awesome, too, because the homeowners get those pictures as well a lot of times, and you know, something that they can use and show off.
How can folks get in touch with you, Tim?
The best way probably is through my website, which is 111photo.com, and it's all spelled out, so OneElevenPhoto.com.
All right. Well, we've been talking to photographer Tim Nelson, the photographer on the Big Chill House, on the cover of fall issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine. Thanks so much, Tim.
Yeah, Tim, thank you.
And talking to us now is Cameron Larson with Advanced Window Fashions. How are you doing, Cameron?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Cameron, take a moment and tell everyone about Advanced Window Fashions.
Yeah, well, we've been serving Charleston for over 20 years, and we're an original Hunter Douglas gallery. We do professional design consultations and professional installation and service.
What does it mean to be an original Hunter Douglas gallery?
Well, we've again been around over 20 years, so we've been established in the Lowcountry. Many of our clients know us with that name, and Hunter Douglas is a top producer. They pioneered many window treatments across the world, been around over 100 years, and so we're proud to be a gallery. You can come into our showroom, and we have every product you can see, full size, and operative.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
A lot. And does Advanced Window Fashions, do you folks make house calls as well?
Of course. Yeah, I just got back from an in-home consultation, and we picked out some open woods.
Gotcha. Do more people visit the Advanced Window Fashions showroom in Mount Pleasant, or do they meet you, or do you go to their home?
It's a little bit of both, but I think most people prefer to shop in-home. As you can see, the fabric samples and swatches in your window really helps to visualize and take in your entire home decor.
And I've always heard that sometimes the lighting can be different in a showroom versus the lighting is in the person's house.
It is, yeah. So we take lighting into account. It's nice if there's some sun out, you know, to hang it up, or even on a cloudy day to really see it in different lightings, and then mm-hmm. what lighting you have on the inside as well.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So when Advanced Window Fashions visits a homeowner's house, kind of walk me through the process. They've called Advanced Window Fashions to set up the appointment. Have you, are you bringing certain specific window treatment samples or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you have no idea, then we can bring about the whole showroom to your home and talk about your wants and your needs, what you like to look at, how you want to operate it, and then what's in your budget. We take everything into account and then we tailor that to your needs. And so some people have a specific idea, and I'll just bring that right away. But we bring some variety so that we can really find the perfect treatment for you.
Mm-hmm. Does Advanced Window Fashions ever install different types of window treatments on different windows, or is it all pretty much the same?
We do, yeah. Some people want uniformity, you know, the same thing in every window, but some people want a little personality in each room. So I've done a mix in one room or a mix in every window is different. I think it's really cool to mix and match, you know, because each personality in each room has a different function. So we match that with the window treatments.
And I would imagine the how much sun a room gets that can help to determine what specific recommendations you would make for certain window treatments.
Yeah, so if you like sleeping in, we can do a room darkening treatment. Or if you love the light coming through, we can do a sheer, something open. And then, yeah, you know, if it's a south-facing, you know, dining room, then we take that into account, you know, where you're standing and sitting and where you want that light to come in.
Mm-hmm. All right, good deal. And let's talk about some of the window treatment trends that you've been seeing at Advanced Window Fashion. So what are some of the more popular types of treatments?
Yeah, so we're seeing a trend towards, you know, more sustainable, natural, earthy, and homey vibes. And woven woods are a great way to accomplish that. They're woven out of different materials, you know, sticks, bamboo, beads, rayon, banana fiber, stuff like that. And it really is really grounding. It kind of brings the outdoors in. That is a huge trend we're seeing. And then also just, you know, soft fabrics that soften the room. Draperies also coming back, gives room more, you know, elegant, type of decor feel.
Mm, gotcha. And you haven't mentioned plantation shutters, but are those still up there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the shutters are a classic. You know, plantation shutters are something that we do all the time. And of course, you know, some people mix and match too. They'll do shutters with drapery to kind of soften it up. But yeah, shutters are great, especially on the front of a home, you know, kind of gives it that classic Southern feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when it comes to plantation shutters, there's different materials the shutters are made out of. What kind of materials does Advanced Window Fashions use?
Well, the main three, you're going to have wood, of course, real wood, hardwood. That's my favorite. There's also wood composite. We don't normally go with that because it'll actually swell in a humid climate. But there's also vinyl polysatin, which is great. You could install it in a shower if you want. This has its own guarantee for over 25 years at Palm Beach. It's not going to warp, fade, crack, or peel. So, yeah, we usually do either the vinyl polysatin or the hardwood.
And are there different colors for those plantation shutter options, or is it strictly white?
Yeah, we can actually paint match to any color on the hardwood shutters. And then the vinyl polysatin has a few, you know, there's like an off-white, a white, a bright white. So we can do pretty much anything, though, if you want to do a custom paint match.
And so you visit the homeowner's house, you've got different samples, is the homeowner just going to pick out what their favorite is, or what's the process typically?
Yeah, so we review the samples and the products, and then we make a decision on, you know, color, operating system, stuff like that. Again, if you have an idea and know what you want, we can just tailor that straight away. Otherwise, we're always happy to give recommendations and walk you through that process. And we have plenty of pictures and visuals to show you to help visualize. And then from there, we make those selections. I take the measurements and we get them ordered.
And does Advanced Window Fashions just measure one window in a room and then eyeball the other windows and say that's about the same size? So I'll just
not at all. We take very precise measurements down to the 16th on shutters, for example. And I'm taking all kinds of measurements: depth, height, diagonals. And then we take into account, you know, where a divider rail would be, for example, based on the actual window itself. We take all those elements into account. I spend a lot of time measuring and being very precise. And again, since I could swing a hammer, I've been taking measurements for windows.
Mm. Do you ever find that some of those you know, you could have different windows in the same room, but Sometimes different windows are just slightly bigger than or smaller than others.
Yep. Yeah. In fact, most windows are always off, you know, almost always off by like an eighth inch, 16th, sometimes up to a half inch off. But really depends on the craftsmanship of the home. You know, if the contractors who built the home were really square and level and plumb. So we take that into account. But yeah, usually there is some variance between windows.
Gotcha. And automation has gotten real big. Does Advanced Window Fashion offer any kind of automated shades? Or?
Of course. Yeah, you can motorize any treatment these days, and there's all kinds of options. Rechargeable batteries, lithium ion, and then also solar chargers, or you can hardwire. So there's a lot of options for homeowners now. If you're building your home, it's a good idea to look at that while you're in the framing stage, because you could run electrical. You wouldn't have to change any batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, it integrates with all the home automation systems, you name it, you know, Alexa, Google, Siri. And then also Thread and Matter compatibility is coming out with a few vendors, which is really exciting.
Nice thing about that is if you're out of town, you can maybe raise the shades during the daylight hours and then lower them at night, and gives that lived-in look for your house.
Totally. Yeah, you can have them. If you're out of town, that's some feature that people love. Oh, I forgot to put the shades down.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have it go automatically, so it looks like your home. Also, to help with energy efficiency, when you know the light is coming in, you can have those shades down to protect your furniture and insulate your home.
Yeah, and we're almost out of time, but I did want to ask that UV rays, sunlight basically, will fade your floors. They will fade the upholstery on your furniture, and even fade your carpeting or rugs. And does Advanced Window Fashions have a solution for something like that?
Of course. Yeah, any window treatment is going to help with that. But we have shades that will give you, you know, full UV protection. So you would choose a treatment that can let some light in or even fully block it out. Either way, it's going to give you like over 95 to 99% UV protection. And we take that into account because people have beautiful artwork up. They want to protect it and let some light in. We have a solution for you.
That's great. Well, how can folks get more information from Advanced Window Fashions?
You can always call our office at 843-881-8858. My extension is 202. Our website's advancedwindowfashions.com. And you can come visit our showroom. We're in Mount Pleasant, just off Long Point Road.
And you mentioned that woven wood shades are very popular these days. I'm looking at the Advanced Window Fashions ad in Charleston Home and Design magazine, and you're showing some of those woven window shades in a kitchen setting. So people can check that out, and
that's great.
And you can always find Advanced Window Fashions within the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with Cameron Larson with Advanced Window Fashions. Thanks so much, Cameron.
Thank you, Tim. Have a great day.
You too.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured on today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next weekend.